Father, I truly do thank you for all who came out to sit at your table tonight. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're moving among the people, changing, rearranging, doing the things that need to be done in their lives to make them more like Christ. I thank you, Father God, for Angelic Coast that's here ministering to your people also. I thank you, Father God, that you're opening up the spiritual ears so they can hear what thus saith the Lord. I thank you, Father God, that you are who you are and that you love your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Aren't you glad that God is who he is? And he does love his children. That he doesn't leave us nor forsake us. That he's always around us. He's always with us. He's always for us. And the enemy has no place. Amen. The enemy has absolutely, positively no place. You know, whenever Brother Aaron was talking about whether God said you cannot hide from the schemes of the enemy, and that is true. If it wasn't, why did he tell us about Job? About how the devil goes before the throne of grace asking for us. Amen. And if God thinks, if God knows, again, no, not if. God knows us well enough to knows whether or not he can let Satan have us to sift us as wheat. And he knows the ones that he can't because he knows the ones that are weak too. Did you know that all Christians are not strong? All Christians are not strong. God told me one time, you always have the poor and the weak among you. Because I asked him, God, why can't they hear the word? Why can't they change? He said, because you always have the poor and the weak among you. And God only calls the strong into his ministry. He doesn't call weak ones because weak ones couldn't do. They couldn't fight the fight. They couldn't stay in the battle. So he calls the strong to fight. He calls the strong to lead, guide, and direct his people. So it's up to you whether you're going to be called of God to be a leader or not. If you're strong, then he'll call you to be a leader. But if you're not and you're weak, he still loves you. You're still his child. You'll still go to his kingdom, but he won't be able to use you as a leader to lead his people because the enemy would chop you off at your knees. That is the truth. You have to get, see, you have to know, you have to know the truth. The truth will set you free. A lot of people say, well, you know, everybody can do everything, and that's really not true. That's really not true. And see, people get disillusioned whenever they can't do something because it's been preached and drilled into their head. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ Jesus, and we can. But there's still, God told me, there are the weak ones who won't believe that. And those are the ones that the enemy bombards all the time to make them believe they're weak and they aren't strong. So our job is to make sure we keep telling them you're strong. You can do this thing. You don't have to give in to the enemy. Then we have to keep them covered with the blood. You have to keep them totally and completely covered with the blood because they are not strong enough to keep themselves covered. Now, if you don't believe that, take it to the Father. Ask him yourself and let him tell you. Let him lead God and direct you. When I first came into the ministry, God said, you don't need to go to school because the Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct you. He said, excuse me, I don't want you to get under doctrine. You know, there's too much doctrine going on around in the body of Christ and keeping people in bondage. Amen. And we need more spirit and less doctrine. Tonight, you know, God said he wanted me to teach on lights in dark places. And who are the lights? We are the lights. And he wants us to go into the dark places and let our light shine. Matthew 5:13 says, you are the salt of the earth. That's the first thing you are. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You have to keep your salt. You have to remain salt. Amen. If not, the enemy's just gonna eat you up and spit you out. Then verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. First we're salt, and then we're light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Why are we supposed to let our light shine? So we can glorify our Father in heaven. Keep that in mind. In Christ's commands, the first command to repent tells us how to restore fellowship with God and become qualified to enter his kingdom. And we've taught about repenting, right? The second command is to follow me. Calls for a total change in goals and priorities so that we can become fishers of men. If you're, you know, God called us to follow him. If we're going to follow him, we cannot have an agenda. We have to be open for the moving of the Holy Spirit in our life, and he will lead, guide, and direct us and tell us what to do. How many right now find themselves so busy there's not enough hours in a day? Isn't it amazing how we used to do so much and get it done in one day, and all of a sudden, it's time to go to bed again. And you don't get into, and you know, that amazes me. And I have that before God. God, why is this? But we have to be about the Father's business, right? So the second command was to follow me, God, calls for a total change in goals and priorities so that we can become fishers of men. The third command is to rejoice in persecution. It's a secret of becoming bright lights so that people will be attracted to our love and God's truth. These are the things that God's already had us teach on. The third command is to rejoice in persecution. It's a secret of becoming bright lights so that people will be attracted to our love and God's truth. In other words, if you can go through persecution with a smile on your face and joy in your heart, you're going to draw men to Christ. But if you're going through persecution and you're moaning, groaning, and complaining, you're not going to draw anything. Amen. After passing the test of persecution, reproach, and having evil spoken of us, we will have the brightness of light to be noticeable to others. See that? After passing the test. We've been taking tests all these years. After passing a test of persecution, reproach, and having evil spoken of us. Now we have to pass all those tests though, We can't flunk any of them or he'll make us go back around and take those tests again. After we pass all the tests, we will have the brightness of light to be noticeable to others. In other words, people will look at you and say, I think you've lost all your mind. Why don't you do something about what they just did to you? Are you crazy? You see this? We get people's attention, don't we, when we become like Christ. Continuing in the Sermon on the Mount, the next command is found in Matthew 5:14-16. I started verse 13 because I like that one. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. We're saying this again because I want you to get this in your spirit. You need to know who you are, what you are, and why you're here. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Your good works. Your long suffering. Your grace. Your love. Are you seeing this? These are your good works. And when they see you, suffering and not complaining, or loving when you're really, loving the unlovable is one of how I should put it. That's your good works. And people see all this, and that's going to glorify the Father in heaven. All right? The words, let your light so shine in verse 16, are the translation of a single Greek word. It's L-A, what is it? Isn't it wonderful she can say all these words? Which is an imperative, meaning that it is a command. God is commanding us to let our light shine. Commanding to let us to let our light shine, not asking us to. See, I want you to get that in your spirit tonight. We think we can do whatever we want to do. We can pick and choose what God's telling us to do. We can pick and choose. No, we can't. God is commanding us to do these things. Since it has been noted that the church has very little influence in society, the question we must ask ourselves is, what must I do to let my light shine? You know, the church does not have any influence in society anymore at all. We are ridiculed. We are put down. People mock and make jokes of us. So what we need is, our question is, what must I do to let my light shine? I must have a connection to the source of light first. John 12:35. Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. He's talking about himself. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. See that? We have to believe in Jesus so that we can become sons of Jesus. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Let me stop there. You know, it was the lady we heard preach, teaching on, you giving her a testimony or whatever on Sid Roth. And, you know, she was talking about her daughter who went into drugs for 27 years. That's a long time. Do you think she didn't have days when she cried out to God and cried out to God? Don't you think she had days whenever she had more pain than she could bear? But here's her testimony. She's up there just talking about God and saying she's hid in Christ. The devil can't touch her. Are you seeing this? Even though she had to contend with what her daughter was going through, and her daughter was raised properly, she still went on with God and loved God and did God's work for him. She did not allow her daughter's situation to stop her or hinder her in any way. We cannot allow what's going on around about us to hinder us. Are you listening? We have to go. You know, God has called you individually to do a work. Right? You know, when people put me down because my husband was running around, you know, I went home and I cried and I said to God, I said, they're saying I shouldn't even be teaching or doing nothing. He said, I didn't call him. I didn't call your kids. He said, I called you into the ministry. So you always have to remember he's called you individually. He didn't call your whole household. Are you listening here? And see, we're all trying to get our household together so we can get out and do the works of God. And you're never going to do the works of God because the enemy's going to make sure your household never gets together. But if you go forth and you do the things that God's calling you forth to do and you're about the Father's business, then the Father's going to take care of those of your household. He's going to take care of your kids, your husband, your mother, whoever. Are you listening? So quit saying, well, when my family gets right. No, that's not good in God's eyes. God's called me, so I'm right, and I've got to go ahead and do what the Father tells me to do. And he doesn't care what he already knows what you've done in your past. He's not looking at your past. He's looking at your future. He's looking at the now time. So quit having everybody say to you, well, you know, you look what you used to do. Well, that's the old me. That me doesn't exist any longer. I'm the new man in Christ, right? So I said, I must have a connection to the source of light. And John 12:46 says, I have come as a light into the world, Jesus speaking, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. If you believe in Jesus and receive Jesus truly as your Lord and Savior, you will not walk in darkness. You will not be out there sinning like the world does because you'll be too busy trying to live the life that God has laid out in his word. Amen. And I'm just going to have to say something here because it really bothers me. If you're a leader in the house of God and you're a child of God, where do you find time to play games on a tablet? I would really like to know that. I really think that's a waste of time. While you're sitting there playing these dumb games on that tablet, which the world has produced, you could be doing something for the Father. I see too many of God's children spend too much time on a tablet or a phone, whatever you use, playing games whenever you should be about the Father's business. Are you listening? All right, Jesus is the light. We just heard all that, right? Mankind as a whole is in darkness. We can say amen to that. Jesus is the real light of the world. Jesus is the real light of the world. John 1, 1 through 5 says, In the beginning was the Word, not in the middle, but in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who was the Word? Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Jesus was involved with everything, with his Father. That's why I played that song by Chris Tomlin, We Believe, that Jesus is God, you know. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That was a true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. But the world did not welcome that light, because Jesus exposed the nature of the darkness in a way that had never been done previously. Men and women who do not want to follow God cannot stand the light. And if the light shines on their dark spots and starts revealing them, if you watch them, they get very angry at nothing. They get very upset because God is exposing their darkness, and they don't like it. You know, the spirit in them does not like it. And John 3:19 said, and this is a condemnation, Jesus speaking, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You see this? This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, Jesus has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. Why do you think that some people don't come into the house of God? They don't want their deeds exposed. Amen? They can use every excuse under the sun. But the reason why they don't come is they don't want what they're doing exposed. And verse 21 says, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. But he who does the truth, those who live for God, comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So, are your deeds clearly seen? Do you have any skeletons in your closets? You need to get them out. Because if you don't get them out, the devil will. When you're up there trying to glorify God and being all that and then some, the devil will bring out your darkness and expose you and embarrass you. So let's go ahead and get everything out of the closet. Give it to God. And then be about the Father's business. Those who follow Jesus actually become reflectors of the light. Those who follow Jesus actually become reflectors of the light. Just as the sun is a source of light in our universe, and the moon reflects the light of the sun, this is what Larry told me anyhow, Jesus is a sort of light in the world, and we, his followers, are to reflect that light. I'm just like Jesus, are you? Kind of light are you reflecting? You know, we used to, when I first started church, we wrote in the bottom of our shoes, we're devil stompers, you know, and went around saying, we're just like Jesus. And after a bit, I thought, no, we're not. And we're not stomping no devil either. Amen. Because people were staying the same. They weren't changing. Their deeds were the same. If you're really following Christ, you will change. And I don't care if that bothers you or not, you will change. You just will not want to stay the same. You will change. It'll bother you when you go into sin if you really want wanting Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life. But if you don't want Jesus to be Lord of your life and you still like to dabble with the devil, you're never going to have a light. Come on. God said lights in dark places is what he called this. If you walked into a bar, how bright would your light be? You know, would it distinguish any darkness in there at all? Would you win any souls? You know, think about this. How bright is your light? when you go out on the street, how bright is the light that you have? Elaine can pass out as much food as she wants to pass out, but how bright is her light? Anybody that's hungry is going to be excited for you come because you got food. You know, see, I'm just using that example. But how bright is your light? Is it changing people's lives? Is the things that you're doing actually changing people's lives? You won't ever know that because what you're doing is planting a seed. And then somebody else is going to come along and water, because I hear there's pastors up there too. I know there's pastors who go up there and preach and hand out tracts. And somebody else come along and water the seed. And then they won't get the fruit either. But then somebody else will come along and they'll gather the fruit. See that? So each thing you do when you go out there, you're planting a seed. All right? So I'm not, just because they didn't fall at your feet and cry and carry on like a fool and say, I want Jesus, I want Jesus, doesn't mean your light isn't shining. Amen. So don't say I said you didn't have a light because you didn't win a soul. I didn't say that. Amen. All right. This is a story. A Hindu trader in India once asked a missionary, what do you put on your face to make it shine? With surprise, the man of God answered, I don't put anything on it. His questioner began to lose patience and said emphatically, yes, you do. All of you who believe in Jesus seem to have it. I've seen it in the towns of Agra and Surat and even in the city of Bombay. Suddenly the Christian understood and his face glowed even more as he said, now I know what you mean and I will tell you the secret. It is not something we put on from the outside, but something that comes from within. It is a reflection of the light of God in our hearts. See, he said, it's not something we put on from the outside, but something that comes from within. It is a reflection of the light of God in our hearts. Isn't that neat? So it has to come from the inside out. What was the Bible say? You know, that he told the Pharisees that, you know, the cup was clean on the outside, but dirty on the inside. You know. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. You, sitting here, are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Sometimes I like to hide some of you. When your light's getting dim, amen? Come on. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Sometimes I like to hide myself. I do hide myself. When my light is not shining, I stay in a secret place in a corner somewhere. Amen. We are not the source of the light. Always remember that. But we are called to be reflectors of the light. The only way that we can be reflectors of the light is to have a connection with the source. But we are not the source. What must I do to let my light shine? I must realize that letting my light shine is an intentional choice. Intentional. You intentionally go smoke a cigarette. You intentionally go smoke a joint. You intentionally look at pornography. So why don't you intentionally make a choice to let your light shine? See what I'm saying here? Everything we do, it's a choice we make. And we have to start changing choices. We have to start choosing the things of God and get rid of the things of the world altogether. We cannot carry one bit of the world with us into this new dispensation that God's taking us into. None. It all has to be gone, done away with. Isaiah 45:6 says, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord and there is no other, says God. There is no other God except God. And he goes on to say, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. That's Isaiah 45:6-7. What does that say again? I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. God surely is not flooding that city. God surely is not making the fires. God surely is not doing this and God surely isn't doing that. But what did God say here? I make peace and I create calamity. You know what's happening, saints of God? God is trying to get America's attention. And God told me the other day, I still have not gotten their attention. What else does God have to do to get our attention? I want to ask you that tonight. I feel very, 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 very sorry for the people that's going through this, the one calamity after. I really do. But somewhere along the line, God has not gotten their attention. What's going on in your life? The one thing after another that's going wrong in your life is God trying to get your attention. Think about it. Is he trying to get your attention? Now, I'm not saying that's the truth in every scenario, but I want you to be honest with yourself. Stop and think, why am I going through what I'm going through? All right? It could be something you're doing wrong, but then again, it could be that you're being prayed against. But don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Be honest. You see, the only way you're going to be set free is by being honest with yourself. All right, God, I know I haven't done this, and this is why you can't bless me the way you want to. And then you work at changing whatever it is that God's telling you to get change. Because this is a time of change. We have to change totally and completely in order for God to use us to do what he wants to do in his kingdom. Totally and completely. We can't hold anything back from God, absolutely nothing. Your thought life has to be changed. I can tell you that right now. Your eyes need to be cleansed. Come on. Some of you need to say, God, just come with your eyes salve and cleanse my eyes. God, wash my mind. Renew my mind, you know. All right, so the process of becoming light involves allowing God to shape us as a potter would clay. And Isaiah 64:8 says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are potter. And all we are the work of your hand. See that? He's the potter, we're the clay, and he can smash us down anytime he feels like it, can he? And then reshape us. How many of you have prayed, God, if you need to reshape me, remold me, because I know there's something not right. And if it's going to take a squash, then squash me and just remake me into your image. Make me so I can be in your image, so I can do all that you call me for to do. Amen. I've prayed that on a number of occasions. I have. Because I know there's something in me that's not of God, and I want rid of it. Because I'm not able to do the things God called me forth to do. So I have to say, God, reshape me, remold me into the image of your son, Jesus. Story. A young boy about 9 years old went with his parents to Europe one summer. Part of their tour was visiting the great cathedrals of the past, and he would visit cathedral after cathedral. He saw the massive stained glass portraits of the disciples and other saints. He was impressed as he stood in these great empty halls looking through the beautiful stained glass windows. Upon their return, he was asked by his Sunday school teacher what about the great churches of Europe did he like most. He thought for a moment and said, I love the sense of awesomeness and the hugeness of who God must be. His Sunday school teacher then asked about his definition of a saint. As his mind went back to those massive, beautiful stained glass windows, he said, a saint is a person that the light shines through. Isn't that neat? Have you ever been to Europe and ever gone through those cathedrals? Sir, absolutely. When I was over there, I went through every one there was. I've never seen just beautiful churches in all my life as they have over there, and all their stained glass and all their wood carvings and the gold. Beautiful. But I thought that was neat. A saint is a person that the light shines through. Some of you guys say, well, I have a little bit of work to do here because I got smudges on my mirror, right? And the light's not shining through the way it ought. Question, are you allowing the light of Christ to shine through you the way it ought? Not smudged, but the way it should. We must realize that, like it or not, our lives are on display. Come on. Whether we like it or not, our lives are on display. Everybody's watching everything we're doing, just waiting for the day we're going to fall. That's just the way it works. They're not uplifting you and just saying, you know, saying, God bless them. They're waiting for the day you fall. They just know what's coming, and they're just waiting. So what you need to do is let your light shine. Keep praying for that one you know that's praying against you. And just keep exalting God and just keep moving on. Are you listening? A new church started up the road here. We passed every time we come to church. And he had one car, his own, for service after service. And I started praying for that church. I said, God, increase. This man, whoever's in there, must really love you. And he alone has been the only one there every service. So increase his congregation. And God started to increase. The next thing you saw, two cars, then three cars. And there was 11 there today. So God is increasing that ministry. Yeah, because we need to be praying for others. You know? We don't need to say, well, I'll go out there and steal his congregation. No, we need to be praying for others. God will give you your sheep and you let everybody else keep theirs. You don't want theirs anyhow. They're a mess. You have enough of mess on your hand with your own sheep. Amen. Don't try to steal somebody else's. All right, I said, we must realize that, like it or not, our lives are on display. And Philippians 2:12 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. That's a neat statement. You have always obeyed. I wish we could fit into that category. He said, not as in my, in other words, he's saying you didn't obey just when I was there, but now much more in my absence. He said, you're obeying, you're being more obedient when I'm absent. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Why? That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. See that? He said, do all things without complaining and disputing. Y'all got a C on that. You have not yet quite acquired an A. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Why? That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now, don't get offended by what I just said. Amen? It's God's report card you have to be concerned about, not mine. Verse 16 tells us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We read that earlier. Jesus did not say, live our lives in such a fashion that people will see our good deeds and say what marvelous, outstanding people we are. And that's what's going on in the body of Christ. Everybody wants recognition. And why? Wouldn't you rather have God recognized? Because if you're in there for recognition, boy, they're really going to scrutinize you. They're going to tear you apart. They're going to look at you under a magnifying glass, just trying to find fault. And then they crucify you. A lamp does not call attention to itself. It is simply placed on a lampstand from which it will give the best illumination. It is not always easy to perform good works in such a way that people will always praise God rather than the one performing the act, but it is still commanded. In other words, people are just going to glorify you every now and then because of what you do for God. But that is not what you want or you desire. And God knows your heart. But, you know, people do. I do that, too. When I see somebody do something wonderful, I praise them because I think it's wonderful that they've yielded themselves to God to such an extent that God can use them in the fashion that he does. Amen? So what must I do to let my light shine? Number one, I must realize that I must be connected to the source. Number two, I must realize that letting my light shine is an intentional choice. Number three, I must realize that, like it or not, my life is on display. And number four, I must realize that my light is to be seen through my works. Number five, I must realize that my works are to bring glory to God. That's simple. Amen. Remember, this is your light, and your light spreads God's love And without it, you are in complete darkness. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father. Your light can do great things. Your light can inspire. Your light can reach the lost. Your light can change lives. And your light can love. Do you know how many times I like to smack somebody up alongside the head? You, when I see them do stupid things, they know better. I'm just talking about my family. They know better because they've been raised in the house of God. They've prophesied. They help do deliverance, and they're doing stupid things. I like to smack them real good and say, what is your problem? But God says, let your light shine. Let your light shine. Amen. It's hard sometimes to let your light shine. That's a lie. Because Larry says, I don't understand how you can do that. Because, see, if you're really a true child of God, really walking in the precepts of God, doesn't matter how upset you get with somebody, because always remember, God gets upset with you too, that whenever they come into your presence, the God, the Christ in you, looks at them through the eyes of Christ, and you love them instead of chastising them. Amen. That's the way it works. And Larry said, how can you do that? And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know how I just did that either. Amen. Come on. But it's the Christ in me, right? It's the Christ in you that causes you to do that. You can't do that in your own strength. Because, well, you already have them crucified. You already have a hole dug for them that you're going to shove them in, right? But here they come, and then here comes Jesus, you know, walking in your earthly vessel. And he's saying, love the unlovable. Let your light shine. Why? So you can glorify the Father. They think you're a doormat, but you know you're a child of God, walking in the light of God, doing the works of the Father. That's the way it works. Nothing complicated about it. It's just what you call total surrender. Total surrender. All right. Without our light, we would be lost in the darkness. So shine God's love for the world to see. And God wants you to be lights in dark places always. Just not every now and then. I was in town maybe a week ago, and my two grandkids are really carrying on. And they'd finally gone on my last nerve, and I grabbed the one by the arm, and I said, if you don't stop. And then I stopped because I was in the middle of a store. And I'm thinking, who's around me that can see me chastise him? So anyhow, see, I'm always thinking about my light, and is it shining? That should be number one on your mind every time you walk out your door. Let me glorify God in all that I do. And you might think it's hard, but it really isn't. If you're really sold out, God will show up because he's in you, right? And if he's in you, he has to show up, doesn't he? He really does have to show up. If not, you're done. You're toast because you're going to do something really, really super stupid and nobody's going to trust you for anything. All right. So do you have a light? How bright is it? Lights in dark places. You all know that the earth out there, the world out there is going to get darker and darker and darker. You know that, don't you? How many of you cringe whenever you hear that being said because it's already so dark, you have a hard time living in this dark world. It's hard, isn't it hard living in this dark world? Isn't it hard going out there and just seeing everything you see and hearing everything you hear and the cussing, using Jesus' name in vain, and on and on we go. Isn't it hard? Well, God's been trying to harden us, our skin, so we can endure that stuff. He's been trying to get us involved in him, dying out to him, where those kind of things won't destroy us, but that Jesus in us will rise up and want to pray for those people and even want to maybe go over and lay hands on them. Not smack them, but lay hands on them, you know, and minister to them. Right? So do you have a light or not? See, only you know that. You can sit here and just shine all you want to shine, but what's on the inside? See, the true light of Christ is on the inside and comes out. The only one you're kidding is yourself, because God knows all things, right? So if you're sitting there smiling and you're all shiny and, you know, and inside you're dark, God knows that, and he's going to reveal that darkness. So what do you want? You want your light to shine? Do you want everything about you to be Christ-like? Do you want God to say, well done, my good and faithful servant? What do you want in life? Have you left your first love? You know, I did that years ago and didn't know it. God said, daughter, you got to return back to your first love. You have to do it right now. And he was saying, well, if you don't, boy, you're in deep trouble. That's what his voice was saying. So I didn't realize I left my first love. But then I got to looking back at how I'd been acting. I knew it wasn't Christ-like. How about you? See, we have to be honest about that too. I don't care what your title is. I don't care what you're doing for God. You know, we all are open to the attacks of the enemy. And we all can, without even knowing it, leave our first love. And when I realized I really did do that, because when God told me, I didn't believe him. And that's the truth. And he said, check yourself out. And I found out he was right. He's always right, right? And I wept. I said, God, I'm so sorry. He said, just return. I'm just asking you to return. And that's what I did. So some of you had to return to your first love so that your light can shine. The altar's open. If you want your light to shine where it will never grow dim, God can anoint you for that tonight. He can increase the light within inside of you. And wherever you go, whatever you do, that light will manifest. It doesn't matter what people are doing or saying to you or about you, that light of Christ will come forth. And you'll find yourself loving them, embracing them, and doing things that you in the natural would not do. It's because the love of Christ is flowing out of you. So the altar's open. And God truly does want to anoint you for a brighter light. And God's saying a new day is dawning and your light must be brighter than it is tonight. It must be. You have to have more than what you have right now. God knows whether or not you're broken within or not. He knows that. You can pretend all you want, but God knows the truth. And God only works with brokenness, so always remember that. Why don't somebody cover Shirley? Come on. Let's get your light anointed tonight. And let God shine through you.